This question was asked, put to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was asked long before, about 1400 some years before, and was put direct to Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his answer is obviously the best answer. You understand that point? No better answer could be expected by you than an answer which has already been given by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the founder of Islam. And that makes this difficult question very easy. Although the question is very difficult, particularly for a newcomer to Islam, like you are, to find Islam divided into 72 sects plus one community. So it is not the question of which, whether Ahmadiyya community is right or they are right. It is an open question for everybody. Out of the 73, one is Jamaat-e-Ahmadiyya and 72 are the sects. So each one claims to be the heavenly sect. For a newcomer who has got converted from Christianity or other religion, it's a big confusion, very difficult judgment to make. Is that correct? So look at the greatness of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How easy he made it for us. How simplified. When some one of the companions asked the same thing, O Prophet of God, how do we find out which one out of the 73 is the heavenly sect and which are the hellish sect as you have described? Now this is the background of the question. Just before the question was asked, Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam was predicting about Islam ultimately being divided into 73 sects. And the one Jamaat is the word used by him, would be on top of the 73 sects, that would be distinct and separate. And also he said that the 72 would go to hell, and one Jamaat will be heaven. These are exactly the words of Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam as translated by him. So in this background, somebody got worried and put this question to Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would be that fortunate sect? How could we find out? Very difficult question indeed. But look at the answer. He said, Ma ana alaihi wasallam. So simplified. He said, why should you be in doubt about the sect who will go to heaven? Whoever you find in the same state in which you find me and my followers, of course he would be there, that would be the heavenly sect. Do you understand the whole intent? What was the state in which he was found? And who was responsible for that state? If you answer this question, or understand the answer of this question, the matter is so simple, so simplified. Hazrat Rasuluddin sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers were not permitted to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. They were being thoroughly beaten, dragged in the stony streets of Mecca, and they were sometimes put to extreme torture, which human beings or beastly beings can invent. All sorts of tortures were invented, and the followers were put to these tortures for the crime of saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They were forbidden. Which is the sect? Now I put back the question to you. Today, who is not permitted in a Muslim country to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and to write it on their sect mosque? Do you know their answer? Which one? Ahmadiyya. None of them. They have their animosities, hostilities between them. Each sect hates the other. There is no doubt. Each sect declares the other to be an infidel. But each permits the other the use of kalima. The only sect which is distinguished, stand alone, is Ahmadiyya Jamaat. The government agencies come along with the mullah and they wipe the kalima out themselves because the Ahmadis don't acquiesce to the demand. They say, whatever you do, we're not going to agree to this. So one thing is decided very clearly, is there not? That this state in which Ahmadiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers have come, this is only applicable to the Ahmadiyya community. Really?
Right.
He was not permitted, and his followers were not permitted to build mosques. And it is on record that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the would-be caliph of Islam, during the Meccan days, built a mosque in his own courtyard because the Muslims were not permitted to build mosques outside of the project. Even he was mosque in his own courtyard. People broke the wall and went in and said, what do we see here? You are not permitted to build a mosque, even in your own courtyard. Exactly the same thing repeated in Karachi a few months ago. When this has been happening, every mosque has been demolished, burnt out, raised to ground. That is a common story everywhere. But this particular incident got repeated word for word. In Kurangi town in Karachi, they mobbed an empty house and they said, you are saying your prayers in this house, you are converting into a mosque, we will not permit that. We had deeply, inserted if an enemy begins to say prayer of congregation in his own house. So the poor children in the family were given refuge in the neighbor's house. They had to quietly study, they moved to the premises because of the danger to their life and honor. So this is a common story. Now tell me, which other sect enjoys this state to your knowledge? None of this. This is Ahmadiyya again. The Ahmadis are told that we are not going to accept you as Muslims. So that so, you are not permitted even to name yourself as Muslim. It is we who have the right to name you, and we have named you either Mizrahi or Kashani. Not even empty. Muslims love to question. But within Islam, we won't permit you even to name yourself. So the question of calling yourself Muslim or Ahmadi is ruled out. So admit yourself to be Mizrahi or Qadiani and let go. There is to it. In Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, the Muslims were treated exactly alike. They were told, and the Holy Quran records this, they were told that your name is Sadi. Tradition speaks of this in detail. And tells us that at one occasion, Hazrat Umar Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the would-be second caliph of Islam, when he went to Khana Kaaba, that is the holy place of worship in Mecca, he got somebody with him to declare that Hazrat Umar had become a Muslim. So when he declared this, that Umar says he has become a Muslim, he was mocked and thoroughly beaten. They said he can say himself, call himself Sabi. That is okay, we permit that. Because we have named them Sabi. But to declare yourself to be Muslim, that is preposterous. We are not going to permit that. So another companion of Ahmadiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beaten so thoroughly just for the crime of declaring himself to be a Muslim that he recorded himself that I lost my sight and I did not know which way I was running. But it was so thoroughly painted, so smashed in my face, that I couldn't see the direction, but I ran in one direction, I don't know how I was saved ultimately. So this is the punishment which had been meted out to Nandi. Just for declaring themselves Muslims, they have been jailed in Pakistan, they have been thrown into filthy lavatories and locked in their own lavatories by the police. This is your punishment. You still insist on calling yourself Muslims? So take this punishment. Is there any other sect who is being treated like that? For calling themselves Muslims, are they punished like this? If you know of any, I don't know. None of us are, because this is the only thing. We are not permitted even to say prayers. I mean, this is the demand. We are declared as renegades. And the punishment for the renegades is, according to these mullahs, stoning to death. Or killing by anybody. Daily, we receive reports from Pakistan that under that martial law regime, which is extremely sensitive to its own criticism, even the slightest finger raised against them is cut. It's so permissive in about Maulvis declaring Ahmadis' lives and properties confiscated in the right of Islam. They do not mind. The mullah goes on preaching everybody that they are not forbidden for you. In fact, if you kill an Ahmadi, you will go straight to heaven. This has been going on, and nobody checks, nobody minds. And this is exactly the state of affairs in which Ahmadiyya and his followers found themselves. It was openly declared that whoever killed a Muslim, the follower of Hazrat Muhammad, would do a good deed, would be rewarded for that deed. It will be a commendable act. You can loot their property, you can occupy their homes, you can dishonor their ladies, whatever you please. This is all permissible. That is correct, isn't it? And this is happening to us. So much so that ultimately some of the officers have got fed up of this nonsense. They themselves have started showing reaction to this, because cruelty, after all, has an effect on human nature. And sometimes those who observe cruelty, they reach a threshold beyond that, they cannot tolerate it. So I just received the report from a martial law administrator who, after tolerating it for some time in his region, because people in the mullahs there were in that region were very hostile, and they treated Ahmadi so abusively that it went beyond the limit of his toleration at last. So he called the mullah and told them, look here, you are telling every Muslim in the region to kill Ahmadi so that they could go to the hell, the killers. So he said, this is beyond my toleration now. Now I am telling you that before they are sent to heaven by you, I am going to send you to heaven. Directly. So prepare yourself for that heaven. Because if you do that again, I am going to treat you very, very severely. That is, they are breaking down themselves. Like many, an opponent of Hazur Akhrusalam ultimately broke down to this cruelty. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim just because of this question built on upon the cruel, inhuman treatment of the Christians, the oppressed. The oppressor breaks down seeing the cruelty done to the oppressed. This is exactly what happened to Hazrat Umar Farooq. So count one after the other. And all of them will be found together in one Jama'ah, that is Jama'ah Ahmadiyya. So much so that even the Hajj of Jama'ah Ahmadiyya is forbidden. You know that? No, alright, then you learn it now. that in 74, why we were declared as non-Muslims. In the same year, we were forbidden to perform Hajj by the Pakistan government as well as by the Saudi government, at least for Pakistanis. They generally close their eyes to other entities coming from other directions, if they can afford to. But if the matter is taken openly, then they can't help it. They have to prevent entities from performing Hajj. And do you know, the first person in history who is known to have been prevented from performing Hajj, who he was? You know him? Arabia is the place where this ultimate agreement was signed between the two groups, that is, the Hazur and the Meccans. That is known in the name of that field, which is called the field of Arabia. So it was there that he was prevented to go further in the direction of that. And after that, now as a sect, we are being forbidden. So all these things speak for themselves. And this is the beauty of the answer, that for these things, you do not have to be a learned person. Because if out of 73, only one was a sect, heavenly sect, then it was binding for every Muslim to find out which one was that. And lack of knowledge should not have been permitted to stand in the way of finding the truth. Otherwise, an illiterate person would complain to us, to God, that look here, you made me born in an illiterate family, and it was impossible for me to find out the truth after studying the Holy Quran, the traditions, the various sects, their differences, their comparative arguments, and so on and so forth. Even if I had devoted the whole lifetime to this pursuit, I could not have achieved it. That's my answer. So Rasulullah saved us from all this bothering by giving an answer which can be equally understood by the literate as well as illiterate, by the black as well as the white. Because this is the history of Islam which is known to everyone. Every Muslim, right from the childhood, is taught that this is what was happening to Rasulullah. So even in the remotest villages of Africa, in the darkest corners of Africa, they can see light through this pointer, Allahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I think this is the best proof that we have of our truth, of our being on the right. But if you want to further investigate, then the books are available on every subject. Anything you like, you can be held there in German, in Spanish, although you don't have enough literature in Spanish, but you understand German all right, and French as well, and English, I think, to a great extent. So anything in particular, if it is irritating in your mind, can be sorted out by studying. But generally speaking, I think this is the best answer that I can give you.